Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for another fascinating study in the Old Testament book of Hosea. Not so many people can say that. As we begin in chapter 9, verse 3, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, shows us that even though Israel was thriving in the new land, people were sinning more but enjoying it less. Doesn't it sound familiar? Well, stay with us, because in just a moment, we'll get a front row seat to what happened in Hosea's day as Dr. McGee explains how he thought it parallels with what's going on today. So open your Bibles to Hosea 9, and let me welcome Greg Harris into our studio today.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here as always. And today, I wanted to talk about a very interesting concept, and that is how much through the Bible does not change,
yep,
and yet how much it changes in many new ways all the time. There's
right.
So many things about this ministry that will never change.
Right, like our commitment to the 5-year broadcast of Through the Bible.
Exactly, and the teaching of Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Right, that will not change, and the fact that we're going to continue to be committed to radio.
That's right. And we will be committed to radio as long as it's effective. Now, many people in my world say to me, well, you should use all the new digital technology. And my answer is we do.
Absolutely.
And we want to talk later about some of the new things we're doing.
Right.
But radio has served us so well. And I tell people that probably about 2/3 of our entire budget is spent actually buying some form of radio airtime
yeah.
around the world. And so that won't change. And a lot of people don't know this, but it's in our corporate bylaws that Dr. McGee will only be the teacher on our English broadcast here in North America. And so that's written into the fabric of who we are is through the Bible. So people don't have to worry about that changing.
Yep. You've said in the past, Greg, that what's your number? How many people do you think that are Christians have heard of Dr. McGee and have listened to him at some point in time?
Oh, well, one of my maxims is that about 3 out of 4 Christians that I meet want to tell me their Dr. McGee story. That's been my experience.
Yeah. And I
it's
think
not statistically, you know,
proven.
Accurate or
yeah.
proven, but that's my general experience.
Yeah. And I know I've had that in my own life. If you talk to anybody who has really any kind of maturity in their Christian life, they've certainly listened to Christian radio. If they're younger, maybe it's just through the form of podcasting. But you talk to anybody that spent any time wanting to understand the Word of God, and Dr. McGee's name comes up.
Yeah, so many pastors, often yeah. through the digital media, I get people wanting to connect. Just this morning, I was going through, and a pastor from a different part of the country said, love your ministry, want to be connected with you. And this is an experience that we've had that tells us there are many things in Through the Bible we don't ever want to change.
Right.
We don't ever want to change our fundraising or non-fundraising
yeah.
policy. We believe it honors God
yeah.
to just trust God for the money.
Yeah. And Dr. McGee has said, you know, we will never use high-pressure methods. We will never beg for money.
Or use gimmickry.
And I think that's even reflected in our policy with, you know, getting on our mailing list. Number
yes.
one, you've got to
yes.
ask to be put on it. And if we don't hear from you after a certain amount of time, that's okay, but we're
right.
going to send you a card that says, hey, do you still want this? Because we'll
take
you off the list.
We don't like to waste money. And that was something that Dr. McGee embedded in this ministry is we're very, very careful with the funds we receive.
Yeah.
We know that people are giving sacrificially, and we always want to exercise great stewardship.
Yeah.
I would say another thing that will never change is our commitment to prayer and to asking people to
yeah.
pray for us.
Yeah, that's one of the things with the advent of the World Prayer Team, which really
yes.
was your idea
right.
several
Thank
years
you.
Ago.
Yeah.
I really think it's connected us with our listeners and the global outreach of Through the Bible in ways that no other specific program that we have has enabled us to do. And out of that comes daily prayer. And I think
yes.
that's such an important part of the DNA of this ministry. Dr. McGee wanted it, and we've carried that tradition on, and
yes.
people have connected with us in a very wonderful way.
Yes, and I think the final thing I'd like to emphasize is we will never change our commitment to global ministry. We spend over half our budget on that. And after Dr. McGee's done teaching, we have a few more minutes to share some exciting ways that Through the Bible is changing. And we're going to be asking people to specifically pray for some of these new initiatives.
Yeah.
So, Steve, I'm going to reverse roles and ask you, would you open us in prayer today?
I would be glad to. Lord, as we open your word into Hosea chapter 9, I pray that you would speak to each of us through the Holy Spirit and that you would continue to bless the ministry of Through the Bible as it goes out around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come back here to the 9th chapter of the prophecy of Hosea, we see that this is the section of judgment because Israel has turned from God to everything else, to idolatry. And actually, at this time, they are beginning to look to prosperity to be the thing that is an indication that everything is all right, and they're right on the verge of the judgment of God. And so we begin, and I'm going to move back and just lift out one or two things here in chapter 9. He says to them at first, rejoice not. They were sinning more, but enjoying it less. God says you played the harlot, and they've loved a reward upon every threshing floor. The stock market was up, and there was abundance. The shelves of the supermarkets were groaning with food, and there was plenty of liquor to be bought, plenty of wine, and that deceived them. That, of course, has deceived our nation. And then we have something else here. God makes it clear they are going to get out of the land. He says in verse 3, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land. God says, I'm putting you out of my land. Although God said he'd not forget his covenant with Abraham and with Moses and with David, but their tenure in the land always depended on their obedience to God. And now he's going to put them out of the land. Now we come down to where we actually left off last time. Let me read verse 7 here in your hearing. The days of judgment are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Now, what has happened here? The nation had actually lost its way spiritually. Why? Because of the leadership. Now, may I make a statement? I can remember that when I started out studying for the ministry, the big fight in this country, in the church, was between what was known as fundamentalism and modernism. And modernism espoused the social gospel. They were the do-gooders. And they claimed they had a high ethical standard. And I was inclined, frankly, to agree with them on their high ethical standard, because I found out a great many of the fundamentalists just don't operate on high ethics, and that is still true today. And I felt like maybe the liberal had one strike on us in that connection, and it disturbed me a great deal. But I began again to watch liberalism. And I didn't say this. Hosea said it. You can blame it on him. He says the prophet is a fool. Did they have really a high ethical standard? Well, follow them through. And I'm going to refer back now to the Watergate case. A young man who had gone to Yale, I guess it was, and he had an outstanding liberal preacher there. His father was an outstanding liberal, and he taught them ethics. Now, listen to this. This man also taught young men to burn their draft cards. That's against the law. He also taught certain protest meetings and even to the burning, and that there was a higher law than the law of the land, and he espoused that. Well, it led a young man into very serious trouble. That was in his class. He said, well, if that's ethics, then I can follow them. And I just merely use that as an illustration. I'm saying that's true all the way across this land. Liberalism has even lost its moral standard today. And I was in Portland when they discovered there a police woman testified that the place where they were getting dope was that run by the liberal churches. And across this land today, liberalism, I didn't say it. Hosea said the prophet's a fool. He's led the nation astray. And liberalism is responsible for the policy that we followed after World War II. And the trouble that we're in today is a trouble that's been produced by liberalism. I'll guarantee you this. Fundamentalism may act fanatic at times. But the fact of the matter is, fundamentalism did not lead to the trouble that we're in today. And then, even before I began studying for the ministry, I was in college and had not yet gone to seminary. I listened to certain men like Dr. Ironside, Dr. Harry Rimmer, Dr. Arthur Brown, and I heard my professors and liberal preachers call them fanatics. Do you know the things that they preached about and said then are as true today as it possibly can be? And the things I was taught in school, that doesn't happen to be true today. It just didn't work out that way. They had turned their back on God, and the judgment was coming because of that. And they had no spiritual discernment today. And the thing that disturbs me about our nation, we're receiving letters now from many people, and we rejoice in it. They're coming out of cults and isms. Well, how did they get trapped in all of these things today? Only one explanation, that's ignorance of the Word of God, lack of spiritual discernment. Now, God says He intends to judge them for that. And this is the pattern, this is an illustration for any nation that's made a pretense of being a Christian nation. Now, He says the watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all the ways, and hatred in the house of his God. The watchmen, evidently, there were a few fanatical fundamentalists around in that day warning the people. And yet he says that the prophet is the snare of a fowler. And that's harsh language. I would never use that kind of language to speak of the liberal today, and yet I believe that liberalism is in control of the news media. You couldn't get a fundamental message on the television today or on the radio. Liberalism just won't have it. They turn it down. And yet they have a sacred cow known as the freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Well, fundamentalists have very little freedom today, I can assure you that. But I do want to say that liberalism, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the news media, or whether it's in the pulpit, is a snare. It's like a trap that is set, and it brainwashes people today. And as a result, friends, we've been in trouble ever since World War II. In fact, before World War II, this nation began to move into trouble, and we've had nothing but trouble ever since. And it's time somebody is making a diagnosis and give a prognosis of the case. The problem is we've turned from God as a nation as a whole. That is the condition today. And God has become a big swear word in Washington, probably used more than any other, but only used in the form of blasphemy, never in the form of prayer or of worship of Him. Now, let's move along here in this. He says, verse 9, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, He will remember their iniquity. He will judge their sins. Now, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. God intends to judge sin. Now, maybe you don't like it, but that's exactly what He says, that He intends to judge sin. Now, He says here in verse 10, and let me begin reading at verse 10. He says something else is going to happen to you. He says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree. Now, the vine and the fig tree are symbols of the nation Israel. And that's well established all the way through the Word of God. And Hosea just comes right out and says it. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree, her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves under that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. Now, they not only established calf worship in both Samaria and Bethel, but they also brought in the prophets of Baal under Ahab and Jezebel. Now, will you notice, God makes it very clear, verse 11, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. It's like a bird that takes off. You've ever been duck hunting and you spend the cold hours of the morning in a duck trap or in a boat out on a lake, and then right before the sun comes up and you could start shooting, some monkey that's out there hunting, he fires a gun and every duck on the lake or nearby takes off and you watch them fly away. Well, that was the glory of Ephraim. It was departing. This nation had made a tremendous impact upon the ancient world, but that glory was flying away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left, yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. God says, I intend to judge them. And one of the judgments was this. You see, the thing promised Abraham was not only to give him a land, but I'm going to multiply your seed. They'll be like the sand on the seashore. And then God says they'll be like the stars in heaven later on. And God made that good. But now they've sinned. God says you're going to have really a decline in your birth rate. And that'll be part of my judgment upon you. And you won't have to resort to that which is actually murder. You will not have to resort to abortion. That is when it's done just to escape or make sin possible. And as it's used today. Now God says in verse 13 here, Ephraim, as I saw Tyre, is planted as a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth its children to the murderer. Now, God at this time had not judged Tyre. Tyre was a great commercial center, and the northern kingdom, it had caught on. It was like a fever, and they became a commercial center also, and they were going in for that. There was a false prosperity, by the way. And that was deceiving them. Now God says, verse 14, give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. The women will be barren. And they went through that period at the time. The judgment of God upon them. Verse 15, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them, for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Now God says, their sin in Gilgal brought my judgment down upon them. It should be a warning to you, though I love them. Now he says, I'll judge you again, and you'll come to the conclusion I don't love you anymore either. Verse 16, Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. Not only the fruit from the ground, but the birth of children. Verse 17, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Now, someone has said the thing that has characterized the Jew has been the wandering Jew and Shylock in Shakespeare. Now, I disagree totally with both of them. But the thing is, God says they're going to be wanderers among the nation. He'd cast them out. Now, the 10 tribes as such did not return. They came back with Judah, it's true. And there was that mixture, and they spread throughout the land. You find them around Galilee. In fact, that's where Mary and Joseph lived. And they were actually members of the tribe of Judah, but they were way up there. So there was a tremendous scattering in the land, even when they returned at the Babylonian captivity, and the 10 tribes came with them. After all, when Babylon destroyed Assyria, they took the 10 tribes with them, and they were amalgamated, intermixed with the others, and they came back to the land so that today the average Jew could not tell you what tribe he belongs to. Yet God says he'll know it someday. Now, chapter 10, verse 1, we come to a very interesting chapter again. And this is still in the section, actually, where God says that judgment is coming upon them. But I think you find out something a little different in this particular section here. God makes it clear, as he said back in the 8th chapter, I'll love them no more. But that was during this particular period. That was not permanent at all. And now as we come to chapter 10, we find another thing they were doing that brought down judgment upon them. Now, this first verse here has been greatly misunderstood. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. they have made handsome images. Now, what he's saying here is not that Israel was a vine not producing fruit. They were very prosperous at this time, you see. God was still being good to them, warning them, though, of a coming judgment upon them. And he says here, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit. Now, what does it mean? Well, he's a vine that empties itself of its fruit. It is just pouring out fruit upon the people. And it's been suggested that Israel is a very fruitful vine. Now, this reminds you of something. Later on, the Lord Jesus said to his own, and they were Jewish disciples and apostles in the upper room, he said to them, I am the genuine vine. In other words, up to this point, you have felt like your identification with the nation gave you access to God and a relationship to him. That's no longer true. From here on, I'm going to do something different. I'm calling out a people to my name. I'll be the head, and this church that I'm forming will be the body, and I am the vine, and you're going to be the branches, and the branches will bring forth fruit. And that's the purpose of using this figure that he used here. Therefore, what God is saying to them here, I'm going to judge you for the fact that I have made you prosperous. You've not given me any credit for it at all. It just means that you have grown in your urban areas. You're putting up apartments there and condominiums, and people are moving in. And as a result, well, you think everything is all right. Well, I'm going to judge you with a tremendous lowering of the population. There'll be no population explosion among you. And not only that, as you increase in number, why, you've made more images. In other words, you've increased in your sin. That is the thing that he's saying here. Now, that gets us through the first verse of chapter 10, and we'll begin right there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
The question was then and is now, and, you know, maybe always will be until the return of Christ. Have we and are we sinning against his unfailing love? If you want to better understand biblical prophecy, then visit ttb.org. There you'll find a bunch of resources that'll help you see God's plan for the world as he describes it in his word. You'll also discover more about his faithful, unfailing love for you. Again, our address is ttb.org, or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, as promised, Greg, thanks for sticking around.
Happy to do it.
Let's get back to the new ministry initiatives that we really need our TTB family to be praying for in the coming days. Home groups, as an example.
Yeah. We just opened ourselves up to God. What do you want to do that's new? And these home groups came into being in South Asia. We now have thousands of them. We want you to pray that God would lead us to the right people to translate this material, right. Dr. McGee's teaching in 6 books of the Bible, into 130 new languages. Steve, the key is always getting the right person to voice the program.
Right. And God has been so faithful in giving us those people throughout the years.
But I believe that he has, because we have so many people praying. So please pray for that. Now, another area is we're expanding in the more traditional 5-year format in a number of new languages.
Yes.
We're going into Kazakh and Slovak. And remember, a few months ago, I was in Asia training people in languages like Khmer and Hmong and Yumien. So we've got new 5-year programs going.
Another area is our digital content initiative, which is really your kind of brainchild of starting that within the ministry.
Well, and you know what it grew out of, Steve, was years of conversations with our global partners and people saying, do you know, if we could get a shorter version, and it's all Dr. McGee's teaching, but just something to introduce new listeners. Shorter content often will get people excited to go listen to that longer content.
Yeah, absolutely. How can we be praying for that?
I would say pray for the team that is very, very carefully curating that content and putting it into that shorter form. And then our prayer is that it would be so exciting they'd say, I want more, and they'd listen to the 30 minute.
The other area that I certainly never saw coming was TV. Arabic TV, Middle East TV, Farsi TV.
Exactly. Once again, an answer to prayer, Steve. And now we have Arabic, Farsi, and we're working on Turkish. And so, Steve, we just need people to keep praying that God would open doors for us. And we've seen him do it in the past, and we know that if you pray for us, God will keep doing new things and through the Bible.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Greg, for coming in and giving us such an exciting update. And hopefully you're motivated to pray for this ministry, because as we've said throughout this program and so many others, we need your prayers. That's what runs the ministry of Through the Bible. And be sure to join us this weekend for the Sunday sermon, Entrance Exams to God's University. It's our study from the book of James. Now may God bless and keep you as you set your heart on things above.
Jesus made it all. Unto him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a five-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?